Let us turn to God in prayer. Through the work of your Spirit, Lord God, illumine our hearts and minds that as we read and hear your written word, we might apply it to our lives and live a love more like yours. And we ask this in the name of the one who is the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson this day comes from the Psalms. I'm going to read a portion of Psalm 36, verses 5 through 9. Listen for the Word of God. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your judgments are like the great deep. You save humans and animals alike, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink for the river of your delight. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. And from the New Testament, as has been mentioned, today's scripture reading comes from the lectionary epistle passages. It is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'll read all 13 verses. The sermon, however, will concentrate on one verse, verse 7, and you'll figure that verse out in a little bit. Listen again for God's word. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I reasoned like a child. I thought like a child. But when I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, love abide. These three. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I suspect, if asked, most all of you would say that you've heard this passage read at least at one wedding. And I bet many of you who are married used it in your own wedding. Let me see a show of hands if you've ever heard this passage read at a wedding. Yes. It's a staple almost. And I imagine if you took a poll of those who really know the Bible and asked them what words of the Apostle Paul they thought most memorable, a significant percentage might choose our sermon text for this morning, the verse we're going to focus on today. We've read the whole passage, but we're going to focus on one verse. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It is a verse, at the very least, that is one of the most memorable of Paul's, and somehow over the centuries it has managed to be recited in the world time and time again on everything from bumper stickers to wedding ceremonies to stained glass windows. It has made, if you will, a rather remarkable leap, I think, from ancient Corinth to modern cross stitch. There's one that my wife has done that graces our house, quoting this very verse. But there is, I think, a great gulf between what is memorable and what is meaningful. And so these words do require, I think, a little exploration. Or to put it another way, when Paul writes, love believes all things, does he mean that when a politician makes a campaign promise, we are bound by love to believe it? Surely not. Or when Paul writes, love hopes all things, does he mean that we are to cling to our dreams and our desires even when they are dashed against the cold, cruel facts of life? In short, though these words of Paul may be known to many of us, we may not always know exactly what they mean. So let's take this verse phrase by phrase, and I'm indebted to the minister Bob Crilly, a friend of both Jill's and mine, for much of this information. So first, love bears all things. The meaning seems simple enough on the surface. With love, we can brave any battle, we can survive any struggle, we can find some triumph in any tragedy, some peace, some promise in a life that at times seems all too perplexing. Love, we sometimes say, binds all wounds. It heals all heartaches. Love bears all things. But as we look deeper, we find Paul speaking a word not only to how we confront our own difficulties, but also how we respond and react to the difficulties of others. Let me ask you, have you ever found yourself in a situation where you were so consumed by anger and resentment toward another person that you said to yourself, I can't bear to be around that person anymore? I can't stand it. Now, the situation is put with a different spin on it. Love bears all things. Love shares all things. Love links together all of our lives in an endless chain of Christian compassion, so much so that if we are ever truly to become the family of faith that I believe we as a church are called to be, then we are bound by love to lay aside our individual differences and recognize our common devotion. Love bears all things. There's an old Jewish folk tale, a legend, I suspect, that concerns Abraham and Sarah, and as the story goes, Abraham's tent was always open to the stranger because of his strong belief in hospitality and in befriending those who traveled the desert sands. And on one particular occasion, an old man happened by looking for a place to rest and perhaps to impose upon his host for a meal. And both Abraham and Sarah were only too willing to oblige and invited the elderly gentleman into their tent. But over the course of supper and throughout their ensuing discussion, it soon became painfully evident that neither Abraham nor Sarah had much in common with this old man. Not only did they disagree on matters of morals and ethics, they did not even share the most basic beliefs. And finally, Abraham could take it no longer. "Out of my tent," he shouted, "I will have no more to do with a man like you. I can't even bear your presence, and I've wasted enough of my hospitality altogether." But before the old man was out of sight, Abraham heard the voice of the Lord Almighty speaking. "Speak, Lord, your servant hears you," Abraham replied. "Abraham, for 80 years I have protected and cared for the old man you just threw out of your tent. I've continued to claim him as one of my own, even though he does not claim me. I have waited patiently, for he too is one of my children. Oh, Abraham, if I could bear with him all this time, could you not bear with him just 1 hour?" And the great patriarch fell silent, realizing what he had done. Friends, love bears all people. Love cares for all people because all people are of God. There is no one who is not a member of God's family, no one who is not a member of God's flock. Love believes all things. What exactly does that mean? Well, let me begin by telling you what I think it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that when one lives a life of love, one suddenly becomes naive and gullible and ready to believe any old thing that comes floating along, hook, line, and sinker. Because let's face it, we live in a world where unfortunately not everything is believable and not everyone should be trusted. That's why we lock our doors at night. That's why we sometimes read the fine print before we sign on the dotted line. That's why we tell our children not to take a ride with the stranger. Because in a world like ours, like it or not, a person can't go around believing all things. So what does Paul mean exactly when he writes, "Love believes all things"? Well, I think we may find another clue, or a clue from another passage of Paul's, and it's found in the 8th chapter of his letter to the Romans, and he writes, "We know that in all things God works for good. It is that all-abiding trust in the Lord God Almighty, that confident and sure sense that God is constantly and continually at work in this world, that stirs at the very heart of these words. Love believes all things. It never stops having faith." Perhaps some of you remember that cartoon from long ago that shows a little boy trying to put up a swing in his backyard. The first frame of the comic strip shows the little boy securing the ropes of his swing to a small sapling. Unfortunately, the tree's not much bigger than the boy, and the obvious result is that the swing drags on the ground. The second frame pictures the boy scratching his head, summoning all his imagination to figure out a way to overcome this difficult dilemma. And finally, in the last frame, the small lad returns with a hose and begins watering the tree with the obvious belief that with God's help, who knows, it might just grow a foot or two. Now, that's a wonderful portrait of faith for me, captured of all places in a comic strip. Love believes all things. It never stops having faith that we are part of God's purposes, all part of God's promise. That is what love believes, and it is able to believe such because God so believed in this world that God gave God's only Son, that whoever lives and believes in Him shall never die, but has eternal life. Love hopes all things. Or more profoundly put, in all things, love is able to find hope. Some hope. There is no storm so thick, no cloud so dark that the sun will not eventually break through. There is no road so rocky, no path so perplexing that the traveler will not eventually find the way home. So it can be with life, and so it can be with love. Love hopes all things. Now let me illustrate this with a child's game, but instead of telling you the game, let me show it using a brief video my daughter Lori sent us a couple of weeks ago of her playing a child's game with our granddaughter Hannah. Now I know my grandfatherly pride is shameless, but please indulge me as I seek to use this video to make a point. And please know they had absolutely no idea that they were going to be a sermon illustration.
Good morning. Are you ready to show how you play peekaboo? Okay, ready? Where's Hannah? There she is! Where's Hannah? Peekaboo! Where's Hannah? Peekaboo! Where's Mom? Peekaboo! Where's Mommy? Good morning. Are you ready to show how you play peekaboo?
Once is enough. Although I can see it again and again, and I have. Now, if I caught you cooing and saying, "Aw, please know you've been bumped to the top of my prayer list." And you can tell me at the door if I didn't see you. Now, of course, when Hannah's mother puts the towel over Hannah's eyes, as far as Hannah is concerned at this age, her mom just disappears. It's something to laugh about, something she has no idea about. Her mom disappears. But in a few months, if Hannah is anything like her mother was when we played, or for that matter, like most any other child who has played peekaboo, she will remove the towel to look for her mom. Yes, she will look. Just a simple lesson from a child's game, right? But friends, how quickly we forget that simple but important lesson. We grow up, and when obstacles are thrown in our face, too often we freeze. We just stand there, or like Hannah, we just lie there. Instead of throwing off the towel and looking. We throw in the towel and give up. We stop looking. Friends, love hopes all things. It never stops looking. Where there are obstacles, love looks for opportunity. Where there are problems, love looks for possibilities. Where there are worries, love looks for windows of meaning and a way forward. Yes, love hopes all things. In other words, love never, never stops looking. And finally, love endures all things. Again, let me say first what this does not mean, and I'm going to be blunt. It does not mean that if you are involved in a physically abusive relationship that you are to endure that. No. Get out. Use your church family to help if need be. Now, what it does mean intrigues me by the word Paul chooses in this. It's actually borrowed from an architectural term in the Greek, and in Paul's day and age, it means quite literally, endure does, to put a roof on a house. To endure, you see, was to cover and thereby provide both shelter and security for those who dwelt beneath. And so, in effect, what the apostle is saying here is that love covers all things. Yes, love embraces all things. It surrounds all things. There is nowhere we can possibly go where the love of God is not able at the same time to find us and to free us. And no matter how severe our shortcomings, no matter how frustrating our failures, no matter how disappointing and discouraging those difficult defeats in life may be, the love of God is able to comfort us and to carry us, able to protect us and to provide for us, able to heal us and to make us whole once again. What wonderful news! For I have a confession to make. At the APSE conference I attended this past week, I was reminded by one of the speakers, Otis Moss, that a confession may be good for the soul, but it's not good for the reputation. But I'm going to make a confession anyway. I don't always love like this passage tells me to do. I don't, haven't, and don't. But the good news is that God covers that. God forgives that. And if your confession is the same confession as mine, God forgives you too, and God gives each of us the renewal needed to try yet again by God's grace to live in these ways. Because you see, this kind of love begins with God's own self. In our call to worship this morning, I very deliberately chose a passage from 1 John that says, we love because God first loved us. And as both a church and a family, as both a community and a fellowship, what must first keep us together is that which first brought us together. the love of God. And that love, my friends, is a love that never stops looking, no matter where we go. And it covers all things, even the worst we have done. And in another verse, we're promised that love never, ever ends. Amen.